and himself believed, and his whole house. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brazil was in the news a lot this summer. Somehow they managed to get through the Olympics, and directly afterwards impeached a president. What a country. You know, we talk about making America great again, but visit some of our neighbors and then count the riches of our undeserved blessings. There's not much competition. So many countries are all corruption and bribes, grinding poverty, incredible inefficiency, along with the paralyzing inflation, which makes for some of the priests we help to support each month a terrible decision. Will they pay the electric or will they buy food this month? But one resource remains in these lands south of the border: residual Catholic faith. For these states, unlike the United States, were once Catholic, all of them. Confessional states, they are called. But now, no more. In common with our own inner cities and affluent suburbs, there are terrible drug problems and rampant immorality to shrill greed, bred of poverty, and maybe gangs and families in so many neighborhoods are only a memory. The fathers are long gone, and the mothers seem to have followed. But one thing they still have, although that too will fade with time: God and the grandmother. Holding it together, raising their grandchildren, trying to keep them from immorality. And if you ask them how, some of them will still tell you today, because of the rosary. Remember, it's not so surprising, only 50 years ago, the rosary crusade saved Brazil from communism, the mothers of that country praying in the streets. I read recently a story about such a grandmother who gathered her children each morning in the front room for the rosary before they went off for work or for school. Now, in this story, I read, it's a short story, a good one though, and that's a dying art as well. There's a severely disabled boy, Tiago, he's called, and he sits silently there in the front room with his twisted limbs, not speaking, all day long, but he is loved, and loved enough, perhaps, they said, to hold the family together. Such a child, useless in the world's eyes, but loved, gently, loyally loved, made somehow that family strong. And indeed, he became the heart of the home. They include him in their conversation. Although he cannot speak, they think they understand his noises, and in the daily rosary. But at some point, they noticed this happy boy was getting sad. And tears would well up in his eyes, not every day, but some days. And he would weep. And the next day, he'd be fine again. One of his sisters realized it always happened on Tuesdays and Fridays. The grandmother consulted the priest. He didn't make the connection. She had to explain, "Tuesdays and Fridays, Father, the days of the sorrowful mysteries. The solution? In their simplicity, they added a sixth mystery those days, the resurrection. And the child, they say, is happy now. No more sad days, the grandmother says. The story ends with a reflection from the writer, the narrator, who wondered what happened inside such a child's mind. He must see or feel or somehow know Christ's pain, his loss. And if we take away this boy's day of sorrow, are we helping him? Or are we denying him his time of weeping? Are we somehow, in the grand scale of things, upsetting the delicate balance among joy and sorrow and glory? Upsetting the path of joy, which must pass through sorrow to become glory. Now, what is this but a description of the new religion? In the 1970s, I remember, it was all the fad to add a 15th station, the resurrection, to the stations of the cross around the church wall. But then they died out, and no one makes stations anymore. And the Novus Ordo gets a last word because they get to do the funerals. And they've managed entirely to recraft the funeral customs. It's all white vestments and joy now with Alleluia and glory. They're all in heaven. There's no rosary anymore because there's no wake. And there's no place left for tears, which is sad, isn't it? But understandable. In the Catechism of the Council of Trent, we read, nothing is so far above the reach of human reason than the cross. But in the Creed, we pray daily, I believe in Jesus Christ, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Our catechism today, what were the chief sufferings of Christ? This is another answer you all already know. The chief sufferings of Christ were first his agony and sweat of blood in the garden, second his being scourged at the pillar, third, his being crowned with thorns. Fourth, carrying the cross to Calvary. And fifth, his crucifixion between two thieves and his death after 3 hours' agony. Do you recognize these sufferings? They are the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary, because the rosary, remember, is simply the gospel in your pocket, carried in your heart, pronounced with your lips. You know those mysteries by heart, and they are an epitome, a summary of the passion of Jesus Christ. You've meditated on them every Tuesday and Friday, more or less, your whole Catholic life long. They are yours, then, in so many ways. And blessed are you if you manage a tear from time to time, like Tiago, the little boy in our story. But what a story are the sufferings of the Passion. Do you find it difficult to meditate? And is that a reason why you don't reach sometimes for your rosary? Well, just connect the dots. Your own life with the life of Jesus and our Blessed Mother Mary there, as mothers would be, to help you. Consider what goes on in these five mysteries. to turn your will over to God. Abandonment by friends, betrayal, disloyalty, guilt, frightful temptations, overwhelming sorrow, loneliness, fear of what is coming, physical pain, great loss of blood, weakness, confusion. And then politics, hypocrisy, a sense of futility and uselessness, cruelty, mockery, resentment at being used, false accusations, silence, patience, perseverance, suffering of loved ones, kindness of strangers, conversions too, continual stabbing pain, panic, paralysis, death itself, resignation, and peace at the last. Like the child, you can meditate in your own way and be moved by these mysteries on Tuesdays and Fridays. And graced are those who still have a grandmother or a mother or maybe Mother Church to organize the prayer. For, the Catechism says, nothing could show us more clearly the great value of our own souls, which cost such a price, and the extraordinary love God has for us. Say the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary on their day, twice each week, and sometimes somebody do the stations, won't you? Poor countries, rich countries, great is the nation whose God is the Lord, and happy the house, the whole house that believes. Oh, they will know sorrows, but they know the sorrowful mysteries. Leave them then their tears. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.